What does it all mean?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A couple of earnings reports out this morning are weighing on the markets. Citigroup reported net income of $1.6 billion in the first quarter. That was its best performance in nearly 2 years. But after dividends and write-offs, the overall number for the financial was a loss of about $1 billion for the quarter, about 18 cents a share. General Electric made a profit in the quarter, but it was lower than last year's. Both reports were better than expected, so where's Wall Street? The Dow is right now about flat. Up about 13 points, up about 0.2%. NASDAQ is flat at this hour. And we have the S&P 500 flat as well. European shares are higher by about 1%. Asian markets closed up. Let's bring in Julie Nieman, analyst at Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Julie, what do you think's going on here?
Well, bottom line, everybody's reacting to very short-term news on earnings. And the good news is that things aren't plummeting as much as they have been in the past. Now, that's hardly a basis on building a sustainable rally. This is not the beginning of a long-term bull rally here.
And what about GE and their earnings report this morning?
Now, everybody's very skeptical about GE, but this is sincere here. But the key to GE is they're not a phony bank. The banks were basically jumping on the bandwagon. Everybody was buying banks. GE did not. They're a long-term holder for their assets. So the turnaround actually is coming with GE. They make business off of their other side as well. So I'm not concerned about the viability of GE at all.
Is this the final word for Citigroup? Is it safe for investors, do you think, to celebrate with these numbers?
Oh, not at all. Citigroup basically got their profit from trading, as did Goldman Sachs and Morgan Chase. You know, trading is actually very profitable now. The biggest problem they're facing, though, credit cards are heading south, and real estate, especially commercial real estate, is headed way down, and they've got a lot of this on the books. Banks always use accounting shenanigans, and they're up to their old tricks again. Most of the time, they use 60 days as being a delinquency for loans. Now they're stretching it out to 180 days, so we're going to be seeing a big backlog of bad debt building on a lot of the banks now.
All right. Julie Nieman, analyst at Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Julie, thank you.
My pleasure.
We got word late yesterday that Google profits jumped 9% in the first quarter, and part of its operating plan is to corner the internet viewing market in search of ad revenue. Google owns YouTube, and it's getting together with big entertainment giants such as Sony Pictures, Lionsgate, and CBS to give it a boost against Hulu, its online video competitor. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
No plans this Friday night? Why not YouTube a back episode of the Beverly Hillbillies?
Do you realize that now you have almost $40 million in my bank?
Well, I reckon that money of mine is getting to be a powerful nuisance to you.
YouTube, the video sharing website owned by Google, has launched a new section called Shows. You can watch hundreds of movies and thousands of TV episodes for free. But before you get to Hillbilly Jed Clampett, you'll have to sit through a commercial for Cabot Cheese. Joseph Jaffe is president of Crayon, a new media consulting firm. He says sites like Hulu, Netflix, and Crackle.com already offer Hollywood fare online, but YouTube has an advantage. 90 million visitors a month.
They've got the scale, they've got the bandwidth, they've got the capabilities, and for all of those reasons, they stand a better chance than others of being successful.
Even with that massive audience, YouTube is turning to TV and film to turn a profit. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
It's like some espionage novel with room service. Starwood Hotels has sued its rival Hilton and two of its top executives. It claims Hilton stole trade secrets to speed up and reduce costs in the development of a new hotel brand called Denizen. Starwood says the two stole truckloads of documents before and after they changed jobs. No comment from Hilton on the suits. Hearing the Morning Report on Friday, April 17th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Volkswagen may have pulled ahead of Toyota and General Motors. Numbers from the first quarter of this year suggest the German company is now the world's top-selling car maker. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
Volkswagen said it would make it to number one before the end of the next decade. It now looks as if it's done it 9 years early. The data is still rather tentative, and it relates only to the first quarter of this year. But the signs are that VW is selling more cars than anyone else. It's benefited from its powerful presence in China and Brazil. Demand for cars in these emerging markets is still strong. The problem for Toyota is its big exposure to the US. Chris Brady, Dean of the BPP Business School.
The US market has really dived, and so we're looking at a 35% depression in that market. And so a market where they're very reliant on has gone down sort of considerably more.
But he says Toyota could regain momentum later this year as it launches 16 new models. Volkswagen might then fall into second place, but he says no one doubts that the German company will stay ahead of General Motors. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Congress comes back to town next week, and when it does, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she'd like to pass legislation creating a powerful new independent investigation to dig into the causes of the financial fallout. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Shortly after Franklin Roosevelt was sworn into office, Congress created what became known as the Pecora Commission to investigate the causes of the Great Depression. Pecora, a former prosecutor, called the Barons of Wall Street before his commission to testify. His work exposed frauds, conflicts of interest, and led to reforms like the creation of the SEC. Bill Black, a law professor and former bank regulator, has been arguing for months this is exactly the kind of investigation the country needs now.
To be able to solve the problems, you have to find the problems.
But Black expects the financial industry will push back hard.
Of course, lots of people fear that they will end up in jail if the truth comes out.
But Robert Borsash at the Campaign for America's Future says if Congress doesn't create an independent commission armed with subpoena power, it could be courting a backlash.
This is driven not by the Congress, but by the public and the public's outrage.
He says this investigation will ultimately be judged by what it uncovers. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Let's talk about some important stuff. Basketball. The Cleveland Cavaliers wrapped up their winning regular season this week, and many expect superstar LeBron James to take the team to a championship. As Rico Galliano reports, Cleveland could definitely use the boost.
The recession hit Cleveland hard. The city's been ranked one of the weakest housing markets in the country, and unemployment in Cuyahoga County reached 9.3% in February. A bright spot? The Cavaliers. Frank Jackson is Cleveland's mayor.
In a playoff situation, moving towards a championship, there's always the economic benefit of admission tax and people going to restaurants and hotels.
He says he expects the team and LeBron James's star power to attract fans from way outside the city, tourist dollars in tow. But LeBron's contract expires next year, and some say he won't be long for Cleveland. Alan Sanderson teaches the business of sports at the University of Chicago.
Star athletes are going to move to where the lights are brightest, and that's usually in New York or Los Angeles.
Then again, fans and some sports writers say LeBron, a native of nearby Akron, may be too loyal to leave town. One thing's likely, when this playoff battle ends, the battle for his next contract begins. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Cell phones are everywhere, but all those phones have added one problem, drunk dialing. One man's got a way to prevent you from doing something stupid while out on the town. Adam Alex Goldmark from WNYC in New York reports.
John Genest likes to party, and he likes his iPhone, but the combination proved hazardous.
Several examples come to mind, you know, calling my dad up at 3 in the morning on New Year's, and immediately hanging up once I realized it was him.
Or flirting via text message with one woman, thinking it was another.
That gets pretty awkward.
He even invited his boss's client out for late night food after the bars closed.
Luckily, they didn't know who it was because they didn't have my number in their phone, so they didn't have my name.
Genest knew he wasn't the only one chronically calling under the influence. He saw a business opportunity and acted.
My product is the Bad Decision Blocker. It's an iPhone application.
Before a night on the town, you enter the names of all the people you just shouldn't call while carousing. Then no matter what you do, their contact information vanishes for a period of time. Genest recommends 12 hours.
Yeah, it's essentially a digital babysitter.
The Bad Decision Blocker has regularly been among the top 100 paid apps in the iTunes store since it launched last month. Genest has already made back a quarter of his nearly $8,000 investment. Other regret prevention products are popular, too. Google's Mail Goggles feature tests you on basic math before letting you send a late-night email. And LG even made a cell phone with a breathalyzer. It sold well in Korea, but never made it to the U.S.
The basic idea of helping people to control themselves has a large market.
That's Columbia business professor Ron Kivitz. He sees broader opportunities for Genest's application, like keeping overeager sales reps from scaring away clients with frequent follow-up calls.
To really work, it would have to offer you a form of pre-commitment. It would need to be binding.
Now, if only we could use technology for all our self-control problems, like overeating. A time lock on the refrigerator, anyone? In New York, I'm Alex Goldmark for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.